on the message, on the spending ceiling message.
Yeah.
But he talked about the credit card, Congress, you know.
Yeah, buy now, pay later.
Right.
Pay later.
And he did a good job.
He's forceful. He's amazing about complaining about it. He's always clear, man. He's always responsible.
That's
early
right.
When he doesn't make mistakes.
Right.
He's so, as I said, also he's got a hell of an honest face, isn't he?
Yeah, he's direct. I mean, he's responsive. He's direct, and he doesn't create the impression like some do that he's holding something back. Just come right out and talk, you know, straight. What a guy! So he did an excellent job.
He basically, I think he's probably one of the best insurance in the world.
just said that was done. So there'd be no pressing you when the
Gary Hartman didn't come as a surprise to him.
No. So I said that was done when the president was candidate in 1968. And then they said, well, they followed it up by saying, well, what the president favor doing? I said, look, I'm not going to have any further comment on this matter because the president has so directed, period. And so that...
what do they think? They're going to catch Agnew on something?
I don't know. They were following up on a Q&A.
You know, they're desperate. There's been no hitting in it. Is there anything on it?
There's no hitting in a drive on this.
I think one thing about it, nobody's going to believe it as far as it's either Agnew or Agnew. They may believe other things. We've been worked over 4 years, for God's sake. If there anything they could have gotten on you or Agnew, it wouldn't be way more than that. We've been worked over for 8 years, vice president. What you had been for all that time.
Yeah, I didn't sense that building or coming closer.
And you handled it, and they asked me about it.
Just say Ron handled it, yes.
Treatment he had and how he had handled it. You were
Talk to the attorney, I love how he handled what the person said.
He said he didn't talk too much, but go ahead.
Well, he said Eagleton talked too much, that any student would know that he was in bad shape, that they do not give shock treatment, you know, quickly and easily. And he really thinks, you know, that it's a very serious thing. And
still, or if he thinks it's cured, that's what I'm saying.
Well, no, he never should have cured him. He didn't say that, but I don't. No, you're not. You're not sure you're cured of anything in life.
Yeah, Art, that's not. I was talking about a thing about this that's going to be very much trouble for him, and I don't think for anybody that had it. Is that everybody is, to an extent, hypochondriac. From the time Eisner had a heart attack, he worried about having another one. And from the time he had a stroke, he worried about having another one. And Johnson, that's not Johnson's problem. He had another heart attack. He just thinks he does. Now, this endorses the Hutchinger theory, the psychosomatic thing, you know, that he says that, and I agree with him, the Christian scientists carry it to the extreme, but he believes that almost all illnesses are directly related to mental stress, and I think that is true half of time.
But okay, what Elton said about that, he said that people go through these things, and a strong man is made strong, you know, somebody who's really strong is made stronger by anyone depressed. When, they're through a big thing and then
they're just... People have depressions after any big battle.
That's right. When you win or lose, you have depression. But if you go through it and you're all right, it makes you stronger. If you collapse, as he has done, it makes you weaker.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
Probably.
You mean he
says that
you...
Well, sure, if you can take it, then you're a stronger person for it. But if you can't take it, and these are for all practical purposes, each one of these was a nervous breakdown. So he said, I make nuts when I'm having all practice. That's what he said.
Well, that's
right.
Didn't explain it that way, there's three breakdowns.
Yeah. You know, before they're shifting to the psychiatric care.
I remember Cobb saying, he has to stay in. You have to stay in almost forever to get your share out of the retirement thing.
Oh, yeah.
They have
so Jim's just letting that out. That's the way they keep it. Well, they'll do well.
Sure, after all the years Cobb put in there, I think he's been a grand total of $8,000.
Really?
Yeah. Because they made it a profit sharing thing and the mayor was losing money. So after all the years and all Cobb Palmer did for that paper.
Down in the Chandlers were probably half billionaires and should have settled $1 million on
her. I'm sure they should have, but they didn't.
I'm surprised that's something you think Norman Chandler would have.
Well, he didn't have that bad call left.
Sweetest guy.
That paper's just impossible.
I think it's as bad as the Post.
Oh, sure.
No, it is that bad.
Well, it's bad for another reason.
Because
it's supposed to be a Republican.
That's what they are so bad.
Most everybody knows is a damn left wing sheet.
That's right. And it should be your paper.
It's interesting. That you know, it'll certainly blunt the negative accusation. It might even make it an asset.
Because whereas Agnew has very serious liabilities, the one great strength he has is dignity, composure. He's cool under pressure. He never, in these meetings we have in the NSC and all the big decisions, Agnew sits across like an iceberg. And frankly, Bill might be shaky, Mel would be a little bit, voice get pitched, Henry would be, you know, just as cool as he can be.
Totally.
And that makes a hell of a difference. I mean, even the three that I have mentioned, on the basis of coolness, I would pick Agnew over any of those.
Absolutely.
Because under fire, he's a very strong man. I may make the wrong decisions, but by God, I want a man that's strong.
Yeah.
Don't you?
So he wouldn't ever be, and nobody even thinks of it. Even people who maybe don't like him for some other reason or something. He is a strong man. no doubt about that.
Well, the way, he may not like the way, you know, his alliterative phrases or that he kicks the kids around or that he doesn't like the press. But when you weigh those deficiencies against the other one, you get out, you know, there's no question.
Yeah. Oh. Sure. Agree. that was one of it's because of basically that sort of conceit from Bill Rogers, it's a major feeling he has, I mean, so many other directors call me, but I know Henry will say anything, or I'll say anything. Bill, I guess, can't help but say, yeah, I know about that. Yeah, I've heard that already. Yeah, we got that information. Yeah, I know about it, so we're not good at it. About 80% of the time, people come to the town meeting, Rosen talks, I've heard it, but at least, first, it's courteous, and second, you never know, you might pick up something.
And there is
rather poor man. A man that I saw in government who was the best of that was Brownell.
Really?
Brownell was a smooth looking. Harry Brownell, who virtually did everything. But he, you start telling him something, and he just listened. Always. And then he started questioning. But he was never one to step into the unknown about that. See what I mean? It's a mark of a rather, it's a mark of smallness. Okay, what you're trying to prove, if you're in the front lines of the
I don't think they plan to play that way. They would have